the sorrows of death encompass me, the floods of ungodly men make me afraid. In my distress I called upon the Lord, unto God I cried. I will of thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, the one whom I trust. Call upon the Lord. The cords of hell surround me, confronting me, the snares of death. But my cry came before my Lord. My voice he heard from his throne. I will of thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, the one whom I trust. I will call upon the Lord. God sent from above, he lifted me. Of a mighty flood, he delivered me from them who hated me. He delighted my God. I will of thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, the one whom I trust. I will call upon the Lord. I will call upon the Lord.
This. I don't know if you paid attention to words. There's and the psalmist called upon the Lord, and what was God's response? Do you remember? I preached it not long ago. God showed up in a mighty force. He showed up with all of the arsenal of heaven and defeated the enemy and delivered. Wow. And why? As Rick just sang, verse 19, because he delighted in that, folks. Those of you who get discouraged easily, listen, God delights in you. When you're in distress and you're struggling, you call upon the Lord and you can expect God to show up in seconds. God is there ready to help deliver. Why? Because he loves you. He delights in you. He doesn't punish you. He doesn't say, no, you went away from me. I'm gonna make you suffer. I'm going to make you pay. You sit here and smolder in your distress. No, God says, I'm going to come. Again, Psalm 18, 19. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Brothers and sisters, if you're saved here this morning, you can call upon the Lord in your distress. He hears you and he shows up and he will deliver you. Why? Because he delights in you. Tremendous passage. Thank you, Rick and Bettina for putting that together. What a blessing. All right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. First Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. As you're arriving upon our main text, which we will read and then we'll move on, I ask you to picture a family tree. You have seen in different places a picture of maybe something. What kind of a tree do you typically see that pictures a family tree? Is it a tree that's like skinny and gangly? What kind of tree do you picture? It's nice and full, right? Can you picture the kind of tree I'm talking about? It's really full. And there's different trees. I'm not a tree guy, so I don't know exactly all the names, but you know, I picture a big tree that is just, you know, it's nice and round. You know, a tree just has, and it has all these branches, and it's strong. Family tree. You know, what's sad today is that our family trees are looking pretty pathetic. I'm talking about the real family structure. You know, the family tree was put together, the picture of the tree was put together, you know, to represent a lot of strength, a lot of stability, a lot of security there. Then this man married this lady and this family was started, and then this child from that tree branched off and started this family. And you know, the family tree is a strong item. But I think that you would agree with me today that the family trees are getting very, very weak, very, very sporadic, very, very dead. Breaking all the time. They're not strong. They're not rock solid. It's becoming very weak. We're talking not so much about the family tree. We're talking about the family structure. Family structures are becoming weak, and divided homes are becoming normal. When people talk in the world, they just assume that there's division. Just assume. This week we were on some sort of an online thing with Shalissa, and you know, the lady that was on there giving instruction, there were some other families that had joined on the online Zoom, you know, thing that was there. And of course today you have to say, you know, well, you know, if your family is set up to where the children will be sent back and forth, then you need to do this. You almost have to do that today, because that's a normal thing. It's normal today to begin a relationship that has no commitment and to divide up and just continue to find your life through what you are pleased with. And that's just normal. And it's sad. The family tree is growing weak. More on the family tree in just a moment. You're in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. We read in this verse, "Moreover, it is required," there's strong language here, "it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful." This is not a suggestive verse. This is not a verse that's an requirement. It's set in stone. If you're going to be a godly Christian, this must be in place. Did you hear that? It must be in place. And so what we're studying are things that are not debated. They're not questionable. They are for sure. They are true. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We have been looking at what biblically the definition of stewardship is. What is a steward? A steward is one that does not own the possessions. No, they are responsible for certain possessions that are owned by the master. A steward is somebody that has been placed in charge of somebody else's, the master's, things. And so, first of all, we recognize, does anybody remember number one? What's the first thing we recognize? And it is foundational to it. We recognize number one, ownership. Get these into your minds, okay? I'll probably ask you again next week. The first thing that we need to understand is ownership. And brothers and sisters, listen up here. If we don't understand ownership, it falls apart because everything is ours, and what we tend to do then is manage our own things, and then we go according to what we think is right, and we lean upon our own understanding, and we do what we want to do and what we think is right. But yet we've got to understand this is not our possession. These are not our possessions. This life is not our own. You must understand ownership. Time is not yours. It's just simply not, my friend. It's not yours. And so much when you understand that it's not yours. Have you ever had a day or a time set aside for a certain thing that you wanted to accomplish, you needed to accomplish, and something happened and it was taken away? Have you ever had that happen? Probably all of us. And I'll tell you, if it's your time, you will be greatly distraught. When it's God's time, it's okay. Does that make sense? When it's God's time, and God decides to do it, I don't have to worry about anything because, you know what? I do this sometimes with my study. Things will happen, and there are weeks that I can get, I get in there Monday morning and I jump on things, and it's downhill from there. I really get a good base. I get my outline. I love it when God does that, but He doesn't do it all the time. There are times when it gets to be Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday that I don't know. And do you know what happens on a lot of those times? You have a certain set of, you have a set of time, and you think that I've got to devote it to this, and something happens and it just blows the time out. And you get frustrated and you say, now what? This was my time to do this and now it's gone. And so, see, because I'm the owner of it, or at least thinking I'm the owner of it, now I'm ruined. But if I recognize that God is the owner, okay, why am I here in the office studying? Why are you at home doing this? Why are you at the job site doing this? You know what? When it's yours, there's much reason to be distraught. When it's God's, you say, God, I'm not quite sure what you're thinking here, but it's yours. And if you chose to take it away, then you must have something better in mind with it, and it becomes okay. It's the same thing with that brand new truck that you just purchased or that vehicle. It's when it's yours and somebody backs into it, what do you think? That's rough, isn't it? Now, I know that this sounds rough, but when it's God's, it's okay. You know, and you might be tempted to think, God, what are you thinking here? Why'd you let your brand new whatever get run into? But when it's God's, it's like, you know, God did that. God's going to take care of it, but this is not mine. This is God's. And I think that you understand that when okay, let's say that your neighbor says, okay, I'm going on vacation. Would you take care of this? There's an item that they entrust you with, but they say, would you take care of this? Let's say that it's something mechanical that runs, and I don't know what I'm thinking of right now, it's just an illustration. Let's say they give you something mechanical that runs, has potential to break down, but they're going away for a week, they give it to you, and it's working well. They leave, and midway through the week, something happens and it breaks down. You get distraught because you're responsible right now, and you quickly call the owner and you say, listen, you entrusted this with me and yet it broke down. And on the other end of the line, they say, listen, don't worry anything about it. This is mine. I know how to fix it. I'll take care of it. When I get back, don't worry an ounce. Thank you so much for taking care of it. There's no problem with it. Now let me ask you, does that relieve you of a lot of pressure? Does it? I mean, you were like, You know, what are they going to do? Are they going to charge me with this? Are they going to make me buy it? Did I do something wrong? Oh no, they're going to come back to it not working. And again, you make that phone call and they say, nothing to worry about. In fact, I understand that. In fact, maybe even I expected it. There's no problem. It wasn't your fault. And you hang up the phone and you're 100% totally okay. I just told you that to illustrate why, folks, when it's not yours and the master is 100% in control, he's not distraught, it's his possession, you don't have to worry about it. That is his truck. That is his time in the office. That is his business. It's all his. But if you don't understand ownership, you will be a wreck. Life will be a wreck because you think it's yours and you are responsible with everything that happens to it. Brothers and sisters, it's not yours and God can take care of it. You need to understand ownership. This is not mine. But there's a flip side of ownership. And that's the second word. Does anybody remember the second word? There's responsibility. With any ownership, okay, it's God's, but now with stewardship, there's responsibility. Okay, this is not yours, but here I am giving it to you for this week. You do something with it. There is responsibility to take care of it. Now remember, we don't have to worry what happens with our taking care of it. If we decide to take it on a walk and somebody bumps it, hey, it's a good thing you took it on a walk because if you had kept it there, because there's responsibility. You were supposed to do something with it. The owner didn't tell you to leave it right there. We've gone over this many times. There's responsibility with what God gives. And what's the responsibility? To tuck it away and throw a sheet over it so nobody touches it? What's our responsibility? Do something with it, right? Occupy till I come. Make more of it. Add to it. I gave you 5, make 10. That's responsibility. Now, we went into this a little bit more in depth in the last couple weeks. I'm not going to take the time to preach that. There's ownership. You must understand there's ownership. That is so foundational. It's not yours. But I'll tell you what, if you understand ownership and you don't understand responsibility, then you will be an unfaithful steward. And that brings us to the third, because one day the master's coming back, right? And there's going to be, what's the third word? Accountability. The master's going to come back and he's going to open the door and he's going to look and see if you did anything with what he has given to you. You will be held. We will be held. We have done. And that accountability is based on that responsibility, which is based upon the ownership. I am responsible to make more of what he has given to me. We've looked at this on the individual level. We've looked at this on the corporate level. Then we backed up and looked at this with a specific thing of God's word. I am responsible. One of the goods that God has given to me individually, we looked at this last week, God has placed himself. Let's go back through the illustration, okay? So the owner, God, the master in Matthew 25, has given to me. He opened the door. He has given to me a pile of goods, which are comprised of all kinds of things. There's time, there's materials, there's ministries, there's a family, there's all kinds of things that God has given to me. And everything that's attached to our name are some of these things. Everything that God has put on my plate, a job, a people, neighbors, whatever. Everything is there. And so he comes and he says, John, this is mine. Ownership, but now I'm entrusting you to go out and do something with it. That's responsibility. And I'm going to go and I'll be back. Make sure you do something with it. And he leaves. We don't know when he's going to come back. So here I am, and I'm looking at this pile of things here, and I say, okay, now there's all kinds of things in here, and I have a choice. And just like in Matthew 25, I can say, oh, these are the master's things. I know that he is very careful. He does not want to lose anything. He wants to be very careful. He's a shrewd businessman. And so here are the goods. And I'm going to move them over here to the safe place. Well, I don't even know if I should move them, because in moving them, maybe something will happen and something will break. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to build a wall right here, and I'm going to cover it up, and I'm going to protect this so that no dust can get in, so no light can get in. I'm going to keep it right here. I'm going to make sure that this, nothing happens to it. I'm going to be a good steward. I'm going to protect it. And when the master comes, he's going to open the door. He's going to turn on the lights. He's going to take off the cover, and there it is. Everything just the way he wanted it to be. And my friends, that servant lost out. That is not what he entailed. That's not what he asked. Responsibility in looking at the resources. Now let's look at the resources just for a moment. Last week I introduced to you one of the resources. Just one in the pile is God's Word, the Gospel. And we looked in Romans. Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. Remember Paul? Paul, starting off very typically in the way he does in one of his epistles, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, and here's our word, separated unto the Gospel of God. Separated unto. This word separated unto, we think of separated apart from, but separated unto. The word separated is focus on, it is treasure on, it's devotion. I am devoted to this thing. Devoted to one of God's goods that he wants you to do something with. And the first one, as we see Paul did, and what we're looking at, is we ought to be designated, devoted to treasuring the gospel of God. Specifically, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and so that all men can see. But very specifically, that's what really this whole book is all about, God's Word. So last week we looked at the individual responsibility that we all have to be in God's Word, and time, and studying it, and meditating upon it, and so forth. Today, this morning, just for a few moments, I want to take that. Okay, so we learned last week what my responsibility is. Do I have a responsibility individually to be a good steward of God's Word? Yes. Does it matter how much time I'm exposed to it? Yes. Does it matter if I'm reading it? Yes. Does it matter if I'm understanding it? Yes. Does it matter if I'm doing something with it? Yes. And one day, what's going to happen? I'm going to be held accountable for it. There is a day of reckoning in which I'm going to have to answer to the Lord, okay, Sean, I gave you my word individually. How did you do? There'll be a day of reckoning. But let's take it a step further. You see, with God's Word, it's more than just individual. God didn't give me His Word, write my name on it, and say, okay, Sean, this is just for you. You go and just see how it benefits you. You see, when God gave this book to me, and He also gave me a wife and children, He gave me more responsibility to make sure that I didn't just keep it by myself, but that I would give it to them, my family. With that introduction, I ask you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. So one of God's goods that He has given to me, He owns it. I'm responsible with it to do something more with it. And there's going to be accountability. One of those things is God's Word. God's Word in my individual life, and now today, God's Word in my family. Do I have a responsibility to give God's Word to my family? What do you think? Do you think it's okay that if I just have my devotions in the morning and then I go off to work and don't care, do anything with my family throughout the rest of the day? Is there any passage in Scripture that teaches against that? Well, certainly there is. You're in it. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Here is the Old Testament law. You say, well, not bound to it today. Well, absolutely, we're bound to this principle. It is part of the law, but it was carried on in the New Testament. I have a responsibility to take care of my family with the Word of God. Okay? There was no change in the New Testament with that. I want you to see what God wants with us. So today we have the family. We have problems with the family. You know, before we look at this passage, I would submit to you that one of the reasons why we have problems with our families and our family trees is because we have parents that are not responsible with God's word to their children. They don't know how to rightly divide the word of truth to help the problems in the family. Are there going to be problems in the family? What's the answer to that? Always. And the answer to those problems is what? God's word. If we don't know how to rightly divide it, then we're going to have struggles. Okay, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. We're going to not look in all these verses too much in depth, but let's look at them. Moses is writing to the people, and these words which I command thee this day, or she's speaking about God's word, shall be in thine heart. Now, let me just getting caught up here. Who is he talking to? Who is Moses talking to? Okay, he's talking to Israel, and specifically in the family unit, who's he talking to? Okay, he's talking to the parents here. Certainly, it's probably specifically the father. So just keep in mind, because he's going to come on to say in just a minute, and you're going to teach your children. So it doesn't appear that the children are necessarily sitting there. It seems like the parents are sitting there. And these words which I command thee this day, so that's God's word. So these words, God's word, what? First of all, shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. So now it's got to be in your heart. I want you to teach God's word to now your children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates. All right, just like last week, the first thing that we looked at with God's word is time in. Does God expect us individually and in responsibility to be in God's word with our time? What do you think? Does God tell us to be in his word? All over the place. Even as we looked at in Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1, you know, but his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Okay, the individual responsibility is there. We must have time in God's word. But here we see that there's an expectation to parents. And by the way, you're here this morning and you say, you know, my parents or my children are out. Okay, well, you're still a parent. My children are gone, or I don't have any children. I want you to understand. Can I stop here and say this? We all have responsibility in our church to train the next generation. Do you know in the New Testament there's a responsibility with those people that are older, and that doesn't have an age limit with it, under or over. If you're older than somebody else, there's a responsibility to pass down to them what God has taught you. We all have a responsibility to train. It's not just parents. So can I say, if you're a parent in here, there's certainly responsibility here. But if you're here today and you're not a parent, or you're, you know, you're whoever, there's responsibility here with the children. All of us have a responsibility. But certainly if you have children, and certainly I would even say parents, with your grandchildren. God's word, whose possession is it? God's. He's entrusted you with it as one of the goods, God's word, and there is responsibility to do something with it, not just in your own self, but in other people's lives. And what's the last? There will be accountability. So there's going to be accountability with what you're doing with the younger people in your life with God's word. And in Deuteronomy, we see some of this. There's obviously time in God's word. In fact, when you read these three or four verses, does it seem to indicate that God's word must be a priority all through the day? In fact, what kind of times of the day are mentioned? What's the first statement here? Okay, the first instruction. So these words shall be in, that I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. So there's already work, number one, like we looked at last week. It better be happening in your individual life. You realize you can't pass down something that's not already there. Does everybody hear that? You're not going to be able to pass down something that's not already there. That was last week. We're not going to go back to last week. It should be there in your heart. You should be having God's word in your heart. It's assuming, this passage is assuming it's in your heart now. And what does it say? It shall be in your heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently. That means you're going to give your very best. You're going to be dedicated to this. It's like that word that train up a child in the way that he should go. That's a dedication. I am dedicated in my life to making sure that the next person down the line for me gets what God has given to me. Dedication. Let me ask you as we start with this. Is there a dedication in your individual life to pass down God's word to the next generation? Dedication. A focus. A goal. A passion. It's a main thing in your life that I've got to get this passed down. I was recently thinking about this, and my kids will recognize this because we had a devotion this week about it. I know it's probably not right for me to have these thoughts, but I recently, with all the things that are going on in the world, I have started to, and again, I've got to guard my thinking to make sure that it's biblical and right, but I've started to wonder what would happen to my children if something took place and I was removed from my home. I was arrested for preaching the gospel and I was taken away. What would happen to my children if Melissa and I got in a car accident and they were gone? What would happen to my children if the five of them were left by themselves? Now, I told my children, you don't need to worry about that. That's worthless, thinking about things that could possibly happen. Do you understand that? All those what ifs? That's why I said, you know, I got to be careful with my thinking, because you can spend all your life thinking about what ifs and it doesn't do you a bit of good. You've got to think about what's the truth for today. Now, do we need to prepare for the future? Yes, but it doesn't do me any good to worry about tomorrow. Okay, so I'm giving you an illustration, but I'm saying be careful with this kind of thinking. But it was thinking for good use. I was thinking, are my children prepared when mom and dad aren't there that they would continue to be in God's word? Would they continue to obey it? Would they continue to go to God's house? Would they continue to please the Lord? Would they continue to do that? And I'll tell you, that was a responsibility that I had that I had to ask myself, am I being a good steward? Have I been a good enough steward to my children yet? Are they prepared for me to be gone? We praise the Lord. God gives us our children for a good amount of time. But we never know when that's going to end. And so I've got to do my best to train them every day. There's not enough time hardly to do it if I get distracted. I still remember the illustration that Pastor Danny Linville gave to us many, many years ago. And I don't know that I'll ever forget, it was a challenge to parents, and he said this. He said, I want you to imagine, and I'll probably mess it up, I don't even remember totally the illustration, but it's something to the effect of you have your children, you're raising your children, they get kidnapped, and they're taken to the other side of the United States, they're in Los Angeles, California, and they're there. And all of a sudden, you don't know where your kids are at, you don't know what's happened to them, and all of a sudden you get a note from somebody that's captured them and says this, you have, and I don't know how long it would take to get from Mount Joy, Pennsylvania to Los Angeles, California. I don't know what it'd take, but let's just let's just say that it would take 45 hours. It's probably a little bit less than that, but let's just say that it'd be something 40 to 45 hours. I know that it takes 32 hours to get to Rock Springs, Wyoming. Let's say it takes 40 hours. 40 hours. The time that it takes me to get in my vehicle and drive straight to Los Angeles, only stopping to fill up with gas and get there. Okay? And this person has sent out a note to me that says, I have your children. I'm in Los Angeles. I'm at this certain place. You have 40 hours. You have 40 hours to get your children before I do something with them. Question, what would you do? Would you go pack? You better not. Would you grab a bite to eat? Would you stop on the way at the Ark Encounter? I've always wanted to see the Ark real life size. I'm asking these questions. Would you do it? No, because I only have 40 hours to get there. And if I take a side note, if I take a side road, if I do something different, I won't make it. You know, and Pastor Linville said this, you have been entrusted. The thing is, we don't know how long the journey is. I don't know how long I'll be with my children, but I better take it seriously. Every moment, I better be doing something because there's just, and this is what stays in my mind, there's just enough time to get there. And I don't think I'll ever forget that statement. There's only enough time to get there. You know, in my personal life, that means I cannot pass up any opportunity. God has given to every parent, grandparent, or influence in the church on these young people just enough time. And one day, they will walk out. And will they be prepared? So there's certain elements of time that are listed here that he goes through. He says, thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. What are these times? And I think that I might have even shared some of these things with you in the past. I know that I shared some of these things at a family camp a few years ago. What does it mean when thou sittest in thine house? Well, the most practical thing I can think of are just the down times, the relaxing times that we have. You know, in some families there's a lot of it, in some families there's not much of it. But there's certain relaxing times. It's a time when you're not at work. It's a time when there's not something to be done outside, when you're not making a meal or eating it. It's those down times. And God says when you're sitting in your house, it's those relaxing times. Are you taking an opportunity then? You know what? You pass up an opportunity and you'll show up late. Now, in context, we're talking about what? God's Word. When there's downtime in the home or in the family, I've got to be taking advantage of this and giving God to them. Parents wait until they're in a pressure point situation. I'm not going to teach them until they do this and then there's wrongdoing, and then I'm going to tell them, here's the time I'm going to teach them. God says don't wait until there's a pressure time. You better do it all the time. You know, it's a good time when we're not in a pressure situation to talk of our children. You say, why is that? Because God's Word teaches, you know what? That you ought to be careful in rebuking a scorner. In fact, there's verses in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs. He that reproveth a scorner getteth himself shame. He that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Now, I would submit to you, there are times when a child or somebody has done something wrong that you'd need to take that as a teaching point and say, okay, here's what's wrong. But I have found this, that when a child's not doing right, it's not the right time to confront everything in their life. In fact, God wants the relaxing times, times when they're with you, that you can stop. And for us in our family, sometimes those are times of devotion, family devotions at night. You're not right in the middle of a, you know, you're trying to teach your children this certain thing, and instead of hitting it right then, you wait, and when they're with you and you're talking, you can go through something, and you know, they're in a different mindset. They're listening to you, they're with you, and they're going to learn with you. And you can take that principle that you're trying to teach and say, you know what, God's Word says this. You're sitting down playing a game, a board game with your family, and there's something here, and you know, and one of the children starts to lose and they're struggling with it. You can take the time to stop the game and say, you know what? Times in life, things get tough and you feel like you're losing, and yet God wants you to persevere and keep playing. That was a silly little illustration, but you know what? It's the times. He says when you're sitting in your home, it's the relaxing times. Don't pass them up. Take the opportunity to give God's Word. Now, here's where the rubber meets the road, because that's a responsibility that God has handed to me. And I'm responsible to do something with it, and I'm going to be held accountable with the times of relaxation in my home. Question, and so will you, question, are you taking the time? And by the way, I know this is speaking to husbands, or parents to children, fathers to children, but honestly, even husbands, it's family, husbands to wife, and parents to children, grandparents to grandchildren, people in the church to the children in the church. Question, are you taking your, I just want to say, according to Deuteronomy 6, your relaxing times, even then, teaching children the truths of God's Word. I'll tell you what, there's a responsibility to do it. Great responsibility to take these times. He says, when thou sittest in thine house. He goes on to say, when thou walkest by the way. Now this is different. This is not the time at home. This is in the way of life. You have to go to the store to go get this. You are going somewhere with your family here. This is when you're doing life's things. This is when you come home from work and you're fixing whatever on the outside and the kids are coming. You're outside. In our case, we have a lot of wood in our property because some trees came down and we're doing this. This is when we're out working with all the wood. It's the times when you're doing life's duties, when you're working, the active times of life, when you're out and about, seeing things, hearing things, smelling things, doing things, experiencing life. Are you taking the time to teach about God and how He relates to all of these things? My children are not in the situation yet to where they understand what some of you widows are like. Yet when we go to somebody and they say, boy, that's different. You know, this person just does this, or why don't they do anything, or they can't do this. And you know, that doesn't relate to a young person's life. But you can stop and say, you know what? But they're in a different situation. Explain it and what they're going through. You know, a young person hasn't taken the time to think that somebody like a shut-in that's sitting at home and they don't have anything to do. Take the opportunity to give them some things that they can be a blessing or help. And go to God's Word and show them things. You know, when you're driving through the countryside, show them the trees that God has created and the animals that are there. Do something to show them of God's goodness. When we're coming home from camp, we go through this, that some of you know what I'm talking about. There's a certain place that has lots of layers of rocks. And there's one area that goes like this and it just comes straight down. And of course, the only reason why, of explanation for that is the flood. It's a good opportunity to say, hey kids, see that. There's a perfect example of what God has done, you know, with the flood. Or then there's a rainbow, or there's a this. Taking the opportunities of life to point them back to the Lord. I've probably shared this with you before. A couple situations. A number of years ago, we had a vehicle break down, and we were on our way back. And, you know, we were able to take the time to stop and thank the Lord for things that He had done when we're sitting on the side of the road with a vehicle that's broke. You know, why did God put that there? Well, this is a time when thou are in the way to stop and give them God's Word. What can we be thankful for? God says to be thankful, you know, to be anxious for nothing or careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Find times to share God with your children. There was another time when we were in Elizabethtown and we were driving by and there was one of the car washes that was there, and there was some young people out there with a vehicle, and they were out. It looked like they were vacuuming out their vehicle, and they were doing that. And when we were driving by, there was, I think there was three there, and there was one of them that was flat out just laying on the ground just like this. And we drove by, and it looked like they were, you know, passed out or something. I didn't know what there was. And I got alarmed, you know, because they, you know, they kind of were looking at this individual or whatever, and we were just passing by. All the kids were in the car, and I thought, what's going on? Of course, I wanted to be a blessing. I wanted to help. And so we swung around and I got out and I asked, listen, is there anything wrong? What's wrong? Do we need to do anything? And they began to laugh and said, oh, they're just having a hangover from the party last night or whatever like that. Now, to me, that was sad, you know, like, you know, they were laughing about it. But why I tell you that is because I was able to, the kids were alarmed. What was going on? There's an individual that's struggling there. How can we help? And I had to get in and relate to the children. You know, what was the real situation. Of course, they were very young at that time, and I had to share that with them. They didn't understand the effects of alcohol and things, but you know what I got to do? I got to take the opportunity, even in a struggle situation, in a not a very good atmosphere situation, I got to explain to them things. Folks, our life is filled with opportunities to share the truth of the Word of God. But remember, it's God's, it's not ours. So I don't have any choices in the matter. I've got a responsibility to do it, and I will be held accountable with what I'm doing with all these circumstances in life. So when we're relaxing, we're working, and there's active times. He goes on to mention other resting times. He says, then he goes, when thou liest down. Well, that's a little different than sitting in your house. This is the time, it's time to go to bed. You know what? The time before we go to bed is a perfect opportunity to reflect on the goodness of God through that day. And I've got to speed it up a little bit because we're just about out of time. But I want to tell you something right before we go to bed. What has God done today? How has God been good? What do we need to be praying for the next day? What are the things? You know what? Time of rest. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, makest me dwell in safety. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fear. The storm comes. And the kids get scared. What a wonderful opportunity to stop and say, you know what? Who made the thunder? Who made the lightning? Who made the water that's rushing down our creek, wiping everything away? Who saved you? It's the same God that can do everything. Taking an opportunity to share circumstances, every circumstance of life. And I could go on and on with this. It's a good time to be thankful. It's a good time to reflect. I'm going to move on. He goes on, when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, the waking times. Okay, now it's morning. Another good time to learn of God. Personal devotions. What did you learn from your devotions? Did you get into God's Word? It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. It's a new day. We get to start over today. You know, you did wrong yesterday, or things were tough yesterday, but it's a new start and more things to share. And again, because of time, I'm not able to give you so many examples. I want to tell you something. Has God given us a lot of time to get there? Oh, He's given us all kinds of time. Question, are we taking advantage of it, though? Are we letting the mornings go? Are we letting the times before bed go? Are we in our couch, in our homes? Are we letting the times when we're driving down the road? Are we taking advantage of something God has given to us to make an impact? There's only so much time to get there. A plan for what we're going to do today, to do right. Remember Daniel in Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, he purposed in his heart beforehand a good time to get your kids in the morning to purpose in their heart that today they're going to do right. Just more examples. All kinds of time. And then he goes on. You know, when thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. You know, it's taking the opportunity to give them reminders while they're living. You know, here, a reminder on the hand, a reminder between the eyes. Little reminders should be done to remind our children of who God is. Verses throughout the house. A good thing to do. Scripture playing in the car. Good Christian music at home that is continually reminding your children of the things of God. Never a period of time that God could be forgotten. He goes on in that last verse, speaking of even throughout the house. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and on thy gates. Again, scripture verses, scripture words. that you can explain from time to time. Peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I'll tell you something, that's a blessing. That verse is pasted upon our wall in our bedroom. And I'll tell you how many times that my wife or myself has looked at the other one and said, read that. It's valuable. It's helpful. We've got to have God's word in front of us. Music. All kinds of things that we can always, all times. Well, that's just time. And our time is fleeting. There's the study of, you know, God says to train up a child in the way that he should go. So there's exposure to God's word, but there's also training. God doesn't just expect us to expose them. God wants us to get, you remember the word? Study to show thyself approved unto God. What did that word study mean? Be diligent. That means you go all out. They need to understand, just like you do. They need to understand the word of God. That word train up a child is to dedicate, to give yourself so that they understand what's going on. You know, young Timothy in Timothy 1 and 2, he had a faithful mother, grandmother that taught him the scriptures. And it wasn't just exposure, they taught him so that he understood it. Wow. That from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or the children of God in your home be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. Again, parents, what's going to happen when you're gone? Do they got it? Do they get it? Obedience to God's word. Is it important that we teach our children to be obedient to God's word? It is. Oh, you've got to follow through with it. Do something with it. Meditation on it. As I close, remember stewardship. All right, so we're talking about the good of God's word, not only in my life, but in my children, in my family's life. Next week, we're going to talk about my church's life, so it's going to be more applicable in our church. God has a possession. It's His word. Do we need to be careful with His possession? It's good for something. He has entrusted me with it. Now I'm here, I've got a responsibility. It's not a responsibility just to hide it. It's a responsibility to do something with it. I am responsible. We are responsible with doing something with God's word every moment of the day with the people that we're around. And eventually, there's going to be accountability. Sean, how'd you do? I gave you my word. I left you with my word. I went away. How did you do when you were this time? I wonder, would the Master's response be to me, well done, good, faithful servant. You have been faithful with this. Now I bless you with this. Or would it be, Sean, I gave you my word. I gave you those children. I gave you that family. And you didn't do anything with it. You didn't share it in the morning. You didn't teach them when you were out and about. When you were at home and you had some dead time, you didn't do anything with it. Before you went to bed, you hardly ever took the Bible out and shared it. You didn't do anything in your home. You didn't have anything playing. You didn't have any scripture going through. Unprofitable and wicked servant. What would the response be concerning us to the good of God's word, specifically this morning concerning our family? Father, I pray that you would help us. Lord, if we would have to look at our lives right now, if you have shown us through the preaching and teaching of your word this morning that we have not been very good stewards. We have not been faithful. Lord, forgive us of that. But Lord, help us not to just dwell in the past and what we've not done and just say, oh, we might as well forget it. Lord, may we rise up today and get our sin confessed and say, but today I'm going to begin to be a good steward of God's word. Lord, that's what you're asking. We cannot do anything about the past, but we can do it with right now and the future. God, I pray this morning that you would help us to make decisions, to be good stewards to our families with your word. Help us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your hymnals and turn to 400.